If you would, find in your bulletin what we call a sermon outline. Part of that sermon outline is passages to help us understand what we're talking about today, and part of it is the focus passage, which we've broken down phrase by phrase for you. We don't change the word order. It's just kind of, we're just doing phrase by phrase because it's really important to understand what, you know, one thought leads to the next. We're going to demonstrate that today. So check that out. Mark on it. Give me a call. Give me a text. Give me an email, whatever, with questions, or ask your fellow elder, deacon, whoever it may be. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the privilege to be together today. We pray that you would in every way guide us into the fullness of your design for our lives corporately and individually, as families, as your family. Thank you for the great privilege to not live confused about how life works, but to be on the same page with you regarding your design for our lives. Thank you for grace today. Have your way in our hearts, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. We are in Ephesians chapter 4, reviewing quickly from verse 11, then picking it up in verse, about verse 15 today. And trying to move through a number of other verses as we go, just kind of phrase by phrase. We're talking about how to be you. That's why you came today, right? You want to figure out how to be you. And that's what we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about how to live in the sweet spot of your design. Sound good? And how to avoid a life of futility. It's one of the big words of the day. Just meaninglessness, day by day, and when everything is said and done. All right? It's Memorial Day. Again, we have earlier in the service thanked our families and our veterans. And I'd like to begin with just a military illustration. This is to the best of my memory, okay? So I might have some details wrong, but it's a story. It's a fictitious story, but built on reality, okay? It's called Bridge Over the River Kwai. Now, I need to see a show of hands if you have seen that. It's not a bad movie, so you can raise your hand. I think probably rated, it's probably rated PG because a little bit of violence, right? Is it rated PG? I don't know what it's rated. I think it is. Anyway, it's built on reality. World War II, the Japanese Imperial Force had captured thousands and thousands of Allied troops and made others in the area work for them in a savage way, building the Burma-Thailand railway system. And that was about 250 miles of a railway that they had to clear through the jungles, all like that. But part of it had to go over this river, the River Kwai. And that's real, but now as the story goes, this is a fictitious story. I don't think the bridge was ever blown up, but forget I said that because the bridge needs to blow up for you to get the story, all right? So the bridge blows up. All right? So what's happening here is one of the main characters, one of the leaders of the Allied troops, the POW, apparently gets very infatuated with the building of the bridge. And he gets into the building of the bridge, and as the story goes on, he seems to forget about the bigger picture, which is winning the war, right? Now, I'm talking about your life and my life right now, all right? We can get infatuated with building stuff that's going to be destroyed versus winning the war. And so as it goes on, some Allied troops came in and wired the bridge with explosives, and the wire was seen, and a big fight broke out, and the guy eventually came to his senses, and after being shot a couple of times, he fell on the detonator and blew up the bridge, of course, right as the big train was coming over the bridge. You got to see the movie. Right as the big bridge, the train was coming over, and it was like a nightmare for the Japanese military, all right? So that's how the fictitious story ended, but I want us to take this account in, and I want us to ask right now, what was futility and what was meaningful from an American, from an Allied perspective? To keep the bridge up was futility because we were trying to win the war, and a guy got caught up in the wrong thing. And so he saw his bridge fixing to be blown up, and he didn't like that, but he came to his senses at the last minute. Now, the question for me is, am I building stuff, just spending my life focused on building stuff that's going to burn? By the way, if it's not eternal, it's going to burn. It's amazing how we get caught up. Imagine looking back at the end of your life and from an eternal perspective, it was futile. Imagine that. Did a lot of stuff, but at the end of life, it's futile. We say, well, not my life because, you know, as a dad, as a mom, as a granddad, as a grandma, now we focus on the kids, all about the kids. Imagine raising children where they, at the end of their lives, look back and it was futile. We don't want to live that way. This is how to be you, the you that you were designed and gifted to be. You were designed and gifted, if you're a believer, and if you're not a believer, you can enter this. You were designed and gifted by God for an eternal impact. A life of meaning, purpose, fulfillment, deep significance, eternal significance. And so we're going to talk about this week and next week how to live God's design for you. Avoid futility, live in the fullness of God's plan. I want you to, on your text, focus on two spots just to kind of begin our thoughts. Chapter 4 of the book of Ephesians and verse 17 first. This I say, therefore, that's an important word, that therefore. Do it life together, therefore, because we're designed to do life together, verses 11, really verses 1 through 16. Therefore, this I say and affirm together with the Lord that you walk no longer as the Gentiles or the nations, or the idea here is the lost people walk, listen now, in the futility of their mind. If your thinking is futile, your life will be futile. Make sense? As a man thinketh, so is he. How do we get to that place? It's going to be a five-step process we're going to avoid to live a futile life, the phrases that are fixing to come. But right now, just going, that's the old us living with futility, meaninglessness, no matter what we were doing. And now the new self, verse 22 through 24. And again, we're gonna go phrase by phrase and put all this together this week and next week. That's the plan. Verse 20, but I just want you to know where we're going. Verse 22, in reference to your former manner of life, your former manner, that would be each one of us here, our former way of living, in reference to that, number one, lay aside the old man, the old self, which, by the way, is being corrupted, Christian, according to the lusts of deceit, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and put on the new self, which in the very likeness of God has been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. Which is the real you, the old self or the new self? Christian, you are a new self. And we're going to talk about that this week and next week and how to live there and avoid the futility of the thinking of the old self. So here's the outline. We're going to complete life together, verses 1 through 16 of chapter 4. Life together, doing life together. And then we're going to look at the old you and the five-step process that you lived in to live a life of futility. And then we're going to look at the new you, the sweet spot of God's design, living with fullness and meaning and purpose, which is eternal. All right, so with that, let's go ahead and quickly review and pick it up really with verse 15. Verse 11, God gave, speaking of the resurrection prior, and Jesus went into total victory over everything and everybody and all the satanic realm and everything and sin and death and everything, total victory. And as the conquering king, he gave gifts, verse 11, he gave gifts to people to be apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. And so those people are now gifts as well because they have the gift of these things, which we've talked about. Those equipping gifts are for the equipping of the saints, that would be all believers, for the work of the service, that's the ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ. This is life together. All of us are saints, made holy by the blood of Jesus Christ. Saint, holy, go together, same word. We're made saints by the blood of Jesus. We're equipped for serving or ministry, same word, for building up the body, that's our goal, till we, that's an important word, all. We're committed to each other, not to leave anybody behind, till we all attain. That's a good military phrase as well that we can use. Nobody gets left until we all attain to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God. So all of us growing in the faith to a mature man is another way to say it, or to the measure which belongs to the fullness of the fullness of Christ. All right? So we want to be mature like Jesus, all of us together having different gifts. Jesus embodies every gift. We have different gifts. We work together. We are his body. As a result, verse 14, no longer are we children. Children can be misled here or there, wherever, trusting. Tossed here and there by waves, like the surf of the sea, tossed here and there by waves, carried about by every wind of doctrine, whatever the latest, greatest thing to come down, you know, let's go with it. By the trickery of men, by craftiness and deceitful scheming, all of that, we don't need to be tricked by all that because we're being equipped, all of us together, nobody left behind, into maturity in the body of Christ. Verse 15. What are we to be doing? As we're being equipped, we are together to be speaking the truth in love. And the question as we go through this, is this you, is this me? Speaking the truth in love to one another, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, even Christ. Christ is the head, we're the body, we want to be a mature body in every way, every part functioning with strength and with maturity, from whom the entire body, that's all of us together, being fitted and held together by that which every joint or ligament supplies. Last time we pounded the fact that ligaments, connecting joints, ligaments hold on to each other, even at the place of being ripped in half, they hold on to each other. We make a commitment to one another in church membership, and we hold on to each other. We live it out according to the proper working of each individual part, every one of us doing our part as we speak the truth in love, as we're committed to each other, as we're holding on to each other, as we refuse to leave anybody behind, as we're growing together into Christ-likeness. This causes the growth of the body, the whole body working together in this way causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. Just to put a cap on this, got three ways, three things we want to present to you to make sure you got the message from last week. How to be a ligament, how to be holding on to others and building up the body. Obviously, membership, make a public commitment of commitment to one another that you're committed to be a ligament, to hold on to each other, to build up each other. Make it public so folks know that, membership. Second of all, life groups, because you can't do, you're speaking the truth in love. Hopefully that's what I'm doing this morning, but we don't have time. I'd like to take the time. We don't have time for everybody to come up and do what I'm doing, and we have no interchange between us here. So this is some equipping time, verse 11. But for all of us to be speaking the truth in love to each other, that's not going to happen in a big group. Don't have time for that. We break up into small groups, call them life groups here, break up into small groups where we can be in a circle and share with each other and speak truth and love to each other and build each other up. That's a life group. Be involved. Participate in a life group. And then be on a ministry team. You're shaped, you're gifted and shaped for certain ministries. So join other people that are gifted and shaped for that ministry. Join a ministry team if you would. And if you look on the website, you'll find the website's pretty simple to use. You'll find life groups there, and you will find our list of ministry teams there. Also, you'll find how to begin a ministry. If none of the ministry teams totally fit how God has shaped you, we will help you begin a ministry. Okay? We want you to live in the fullness of God's design for you. All right? So check out the website. We got some literature in the lobby as well, but that gets can be getting gone fast. You know, the how to serve one another, how to, I forget what it's even called. Anyway, literature in the lobby, but go to the website, check it out. Life groups and ministry teams will be glad to help you get involved in those things. That's how we live out verse 1 through 16 in this church. All right, let's move on now. Verse 17. This I say, therefore, and affirm. This is the old you now. Okay, we just talked about life together. Now we're talking about the old you. And I say it's the old you because verse 17 says, no longer live this way. All right? So this is the old you. This is the old me. Notice the word therefore in verse 17. This I say, therefore. That's an important word. Whenever you find the word therefore in the Bible, so it ties us to the thoughts previous to that. What's the thought previous to that? We need to be speaking truth in love to one another, holding on to one another, so we all need to be the new self, which is able to do that well. That's what he's getting into right now, all right? So because of life together, verse 17, therefore, knock off the old you, start living the new you. Everybody got it? All right, that's where we're going, all right? So verse 17, this I say therefore and affirm, or give testimony to, with the Lord, that you walk no longer as the Gentiles walk. That's a command, and because it's a command, what does that mean? That's a choice. It's a God-empowered choice, but it's a choice that we need to make moment by moment, day by day. All right? Whenever there's a command, it's a choice, and God empowers it, but we still got to make it. All right, so this I say, knock off living the way you used to live. Well, how did you used to live? Well, here's the five steps. We're going to take a close look at them so we can avoid them. Want to be able to identify it. You know, if you go to the doctor and if he gets the diagnosis wrong, he's probably going to get the cure wrong. So we got to get the diagnosis. Everybody with me? Okay. This diagnosis, the result, the symptom is futility. Living in futility. Living a life where you look at it, there's no eternal meaning to it. Just treading water. Just busy doing all this stuff. Building bridges that are going to get destroyed. Let's avoid that. All right. So notice the phrase, don't live any longer in the futility of your mind, or they're living in the futility of their mind. No longer live in the futility of your mind. What's the word futility? Just meaningless. Just you know, the world might give you awards for it, but it's meaningless. You get trophies and rewards and raises and all kinds of stuff and accolades for meaningless stuff. Don't live that way. Futility. Let me define it from a biblical perspective very closely. thinking, the futility of the mind. So it's the thinking. It's thinking thoughts of no eternal value. Just going, it's my day to day. I'm going to live Sunday and forget about eternity. I'm just going to, it's my day. And if I could draw your attention to verse 19, this callousness of heart that we're going to get to, which produces the futility, leads to a life of sensuality. What does that mean? Just doing what feels good. And if I'm not living to please God, then I'm living probably to please me. I might be pleasing other people, so I get stuff from them to please me. It's like one or the other, basically. All right, so futile thinking is not thinking about eternal things, and we should spend all day long, every day, with our mind on eternity. You're going to be here about that long. Eternity is miles and miles and miles and miles. That's maturity. All right? So futile thinking, not thinking about eternal things. Not thinking about, most importantly in the Bible, honoring God. Is this thinking, this thought that I'm thinking right now, is it honoring God? If not, it's futile. I might be figuring out a math problem for my work, designing something, whatever. But whatever I'm doing, I'm able to multitask. I mean, I'm a guy, and I'm still able to multitask a little bit, like figuring out the math problem, plus honoring God, right? Guys, hello? Okay, I mean, I get we're kind of like, ladies have no idea what we're talking about right now. But I think we can dual track. Right? Okay. Honor God and figure out the math problem or hammer a nail or whatever it may be. All right? I think we can do that. So eternal things, honoring God, number two, really that's number one, or thinking about inspiring God's family. Who do I minister to, God? Thinking about the family of God, how to build up the family of God. That we can do that even as we're hammering a nail. And thinking about lost people. Eternity in hell is a horrible thought. We got to think about it. It matters. So we think about lost people. We think about God's family. We think about God. And we think about eternal things. And if the thought isn't in one of those categories, I'm just saying, it ain't going to matter in eternity. It's futile. All right? So the futility, well, why do we think futile thoughts? I'm glad you ask. Look at the next phrase. Again, we broke this down phrase by phrase in your outline so you can see this. Why did I live for 22 years, Karen, just thinking we had dialogue, we talked about nothing for our dating time together, early marriage. We talked about nothing but futile things, meaningless. Imagine. And so why? Well, the next phrase down, because we were darkened in our understanding. The brain was dark. Nobody was home. It was just dark. Couldn't see truth. Couldn't see light. Couldn't see God's revelation. And so we have Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8. You, believer, were formerly darkness. Not that you had some fog in your brain. Ever have some guy, your brain's kind of foggy? Okay, we're not talking about that. Listen to the phrase, Ephesians 5, 8. Believer, formerly you were darkness. No light at all. Clueless. Just driving in the dark. Walking in the dark. But now, here's the new self. You are light in the Lord. Huge contrast. Former life, former you, new you. Now you are light because you're filled with light. Walk as children of light. The fruit of the light consists in goodness and righteousness and truth. Thinking about truth, thinking about righteousness, thinking about goodness, building up God, building up one another, saving the lost. Try to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. That's a life of meaning and purpose, a thought life of meaning and purpose. All right? So we were darkened in our understanding, therefore, because we didn't get it. We just didn't get it. Therefore, our thinking was futile.
Well, why were we darkened in our understanding? Well, let's go to the next phrase. We were excluded from the life of God. Notice Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. We've been through this. You, that's every one of us here, before God caused us to be born again, regenerated our heart, you were dead in your trespasses and sins. That's all of us. We were dead guys, dead gals in our trespasses and sins. We have the image of God, but we're born dead, in which we formerly walked according to the course of this world. So what did we think about? What everybody else was doing. Well, I'm different. No, you're not. You know what everybody else is? You're doing. You're living life to please other people that are in darkness. You know that. The course of this, according to the prince of the power of the, I didn't listen to Satan. Yeah, you did. So did I. The impressions he places on our hearts and the hearts of other people, following the course of this world, other people that unknowingly perhaps are following Satan. Just listening to his advertisements and enticements and dictates. The prince of the power of the air, their spirit who is, listen now working in the sons of disobedience. He's at work. Spirit to spirit, talking to people, guiding them, even though they don't know. Verse 3, among them we all too formerly lived in the lusts of our flesh. What does that mean? Following our own fallen nature, just sensualism, doing what makes us feel good. Indulging in the desires of the flesh and of the mind, we were by nature children of the wrath of God, even as the rest of mankind. Created in the image of God, knowing there's a God, having some goodness on the inside that we know, but we turn away from all that and we just live doing what we want to do. What's the worst, ugliest sin in the world, the worst darkness in the world? Living to not worship God. What is the number one difference between people of darkness and people of light? The number one difference is worship. People of light, they worship God. People of darkness just build bridges that are going to be destroyed. And want to protect those bridges. Verse 4 is good news, but God. All right, you can continue on with that for the rest of the story. All right, so here we go back to our step-by-step thing. Why do we think futile thoughts? Because our understanding is darkened, deeper level. Well, why are we darkened in our understanding? We just don't get it. Why is that? Because we're excluded from the life of God. We're not alive. We're dead. Well, why are we dead? Because the next step, a little bit lower, is because of the ignorance that's in us. We're ignorant. The guys building the bridge might have PhDs in building and business. Some of those guys might have made some money off that thing, some of those POWs. Okay, I mean, brilliant. I'm kidding about that. Just, you know, brilliant in all these areas. But who cares? The bridge is going to be blown up. And so we've got people today with you know, four doctorates, brilliant in all these areas, but they're ignorant. Not all of them. If you got four doctoral degrees and you're walking with the Lord and your thoughts are on eternal things as we talked about, then good. But you can have all these degrees and all these accomplishments in business and whatever, but if you're not living to glorify God, I love you, but you're ignorant. You're ignorant. I'm just using the Bible. I'm not going to tell a person face to face that I'm not their judge. But generally speaking, if you fit that hole, if you're in that hole, you're ignorant. Romans chapter 1, another passage that, some of these passages, by the way, are on your outline. Romans chapter 1, verse 18, God's wrath being revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who, listen, suppress the truth and unrighteousness. Well, what do you mean we're suppressing the truth? Well, verse 19, what is known about God is evident on the inside. God made it evident to them, so on the inside they know there's a God, externally, biology, cosmology, everything in between, atomic, you know, we know there's a God by creation. We know there's a God because God hardwired us. And we all know there's a God. There's no atheist. We know. But we suppress that truth. Since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, his eternal power, his divine nature are clearly seen, being, here's our word, understood through what he's made so that everybody's without excuse. Verse 21, next verse. Though people know God, that's every person around the planet. Though they know God, they don't, and here's futile thinking, honor him as God or give him thanks. If I'm living and I'm not honoring God as God, if I'm living and I'm not in my thought life, I'm not giving God thanks all day long, that's futile thinking. That's where this, again, worship is the big dividing line. Honoring God, giving him thanks, they became, look at this word, futile in their thinking or their speculations. You don't honor God as God. You don't give him thanks. Your thinking is futile, verse 21. And your foolish heart is darkened. Just mark it. Hard message, but I'm your friend, I'm being honest with you. Professing to be wise, got all these degrees. You become idiots. You exchange the glory of the incorruptible God for stuff. God gives you over. You continue to exchange it for stuff. You exchange the truth of God for a lie. You worship and serve created stuff rather than the Creator. And God gives you over, and God gives you over, and God gives you over. And that was my life, and that was your life. God delivered us from that life. So that's that foolish, darkened understanding. Ignorance. Let's catch up. So because I'm ignorant, I don't trust God, I don't trust Christ, so I'm excluded from the life of God. Because I'm excluded from the life of God, I'm darkened in my understanding. Because I'm darkened in my understanding, my thought life is futile, therefore my life is futile. Well, why am I ignorant? Let's go to the foundation. Why am I ignorant? Because of the hardness of heart. One of the great explanations of this is the parable of the sower. Matthew 13. I think this is sermon outline. Matthew 13. Jesus, talking to the multitudes, shared this. A sower, a farmer, went out to sow, went out to broadcast seed, spread seed around. As he sowed, some fell by the road. Birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places, came up. Sun beat on it. It died because the roots were on the rocky places. Didn't go down deep. Some fell among thorns, and yeah, gardeners know what that's all about. The thorns choked out those plants after they came up. And yet some seed fell on good soil and yielded a crop. The disciples came to Jesus and said, why do you speak to them in parables? And he said, now listen carefully now. Matter of fact, Jesus said, if you don't understand this parable, you won't understand anything. This is like the number one parable he told. He answered them and said, to you, it has been granted to know. To you, it's been granted that you don't remain ignorant. It's been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. To other folks, it's not been granted by God. Well, why? Next verse. For, you need to understand this, whoever has truth, more truth will be given. He'll have an abundance. But whoever doesn't have truth, even what little bit of truth he has, like the first three soils, even what he has will be taken away, will die. Therefore, I speak to them in parables while seeing, they don't see. They see my life, they see miracles, they don't see. While hearing, they don't hear, they're not listening. Nor do they, here's our word, understand. They don't want to understand. In their case, the prophecy of Isaiah is being fulfilled, which says, you'll keep, this is 700 years before Christ, true in Isaiah's day, true in Jesus' day, true today. You will keep on hearing, but you're not going to understand. This is Isaiah This is God speaking through Isaiah to the people. Folks, you're going to keep on, judgment's coming. You'll keep hearing, but you're not going to understand. You'll keep seeing my work, but you're not going to perceive anything. Verse 15 is the key verse. Next verse. For and the reason why, God, why are they in ignorance and darkness? Because the heart of this people has become dull or hard. It's their heart. With their eyes, with their ears, they scarcely hear. It's just like the Charlie Brown cartoon, just blah, 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 with the teacher's talking, right? Or the parent, just blah, blah, you know. With their ears, they scarcely hear. They've closed their eyes. Listen now. Lest they should see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their heart, and return, and I will heal them. Blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. So what's he saying here? Hardness of heart is the reason. That's a choice. And the heart gets harder and harder. So let's track through this. In the parable of the sower gives us a couple of illustrations of what hardness of heart is, the rocky places, just too much other things to think about, can't really take God's word in it with any depth. And when troubles come, again, the parable goes on to describe this. Yeah, when troubles come, they just fall away because they don't have time to think about God's word. You know, they just fall away. And the thorns they're worried about money and riches and the deceitfulness of riches and just pursuing stuff. You know, worship and serve and created stuff, so no place for God's word. So all those thoughts just choke out the thoughts of the truth of God. The good soil is folks who will dive into God's truth and learn it, and they will have more and more and more truth. Others will have more and more and more darkness. Nobody stays static. So we start with hardness of heart, a choice we make. Next step is, that's the core. That's the core of the problem. That's the diagnosis from God, the ultimate doctor, of our condition. Hardness of heart. Just, we don't want to hear. We don't have time to think about God's truth. We got too much else to think about. Hardness of heart. And the heart gets harder. And because of hardness of heart, we're ignorant. We don't hear God's truth. And because we're ignorant, we don't trust Christ for life. And so we stay unregenerate. And because we stay unregenerate, we stay darkened in our understanding of the whole world and the meaning of life. Just dark. And therefore, because we have no foundation, no goal, and we're living in midair and darkness, our thought life is futile. That's anthropology 101. That's where we are. The result of that, this is the old you. By the way, good news next week, but this is the old you. Verse 18, the next verse, they, having become callous or hard, have given themselves over. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 12, take care lest there should be, this to the church, some were saved, some were lost. He's speaking to the church overall, the church gathered, some were saved, some were lost. Take care lest there should be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart. If you're unbelieving, you're evil. An evil, unbelieving heart in falling away from the living God. In other words, you've gotten some truth. You're like the rocky places or the thorny places. Little bit of truth, but you're gonna lose. This is the warning. Encourage one another in the church day after day, because you don't know who's saved and who's lost. We don't know. Got evidences, but we don't know. Encourage one another day after day. That's verses 1 through 16 of Ephesians 4. Encourage one another day after day, as long as it is today, this age, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Strong warning to ministry to the church. All right? So verse 19, having become callous, we're hard-hearted to start with, and our hearts tend to get harder and harder as we know the truth and we say no. Nobody is static in life. Because of the callousness, we've given ourselves over to sensuality. What's sensuality? Just doing what I want to do. It's my life. Just whatever pleases me. For, and what does that end up? For the practice of every kind of uncleanness from heaven's perspective. I mean, you're involved in horrid evil from an American perspective, but just, yeah, the horrid evil is flipping God off, not worshiping God, not giving him thanks, just flipping him off. Nothing about his plans for other people. Just that's impurity. With greediness, you want what other people have. Covetousness, you want the evil that other people are involved in and their accomplishments or whatever. That's the bad news. That's the old you. Next week, verse 20 and following, read ahead. Prayerfully, phrase by phrase, read ahead. Verse 20 and following is the new you. You didn't learn Christ in this way. If you've heard him and been taught in him, as the truth is in Christ, in reference to your former manner of life, what is that? The verses we just covered, verse 17 through 19, in reference to that way of living, lay it aside. Its old self is being corrupt, that fallen nature that doesn't get eradicated is being corrupted as it follows its own lusts. We just talked about that word, with all the deceit that guides it there, because the darkness, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Put on the new self. I can't wait for next week. I'm going to talk about the new self created. We're going to close with this phrase. Think about it. If you're a believer, you're new, and you're, look at that last phrase, created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. Believer, that's you. We'll talk about that next week when we get together. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the grace and the privilege that we have, Father, to be together this morning. Thank you, Father, for making us saints, making us holy by the blood of Christ and only by what he's done for us. Thank you for calling us into life together, ministry to one another. Thank you for giving us the diagnosis of the old life and the thinking of futility, meaninglessness. We love these folks. I don't want any of us to end up looking back on life and say it was all futile, and then worse, leading our kids into futility and futile living. Lord Jesus, guide us into fullness. Guide us into living in the sweet spot of your design. Thank you for making us new. And Father, prepare our hearts for next time we get together and what that looks like. Guide us as your new people in life together, in avoiding futility, and living with fullness of meaning and purpose in life. And if you've never spoken these words to the Lord, I'm just gonna beg you to do so as I speak them out loud. Speak these words to God. Jesus, thank you for coming to this planet. Thank you for living a perfect life. Thank you for purposely going to a cross, and on that cross bearing my sin on your body. Every bad thought, futile thought, bad thought I've ever thought, every word, every action that doesn't line up with your word, you took all of that, every account, every infraction on your body on the cross. As you hung on that cross, Lord Jesus, the Bible teaches me that you bore the very wrath of God in my place, that my sin was punished on you, that you died in my place, that you took care of the problem of sin and death, because 3 days later it is verified in your resurrection. You rose from the dead, 40 days later ascended into heaven. You are alive. Jesus, I trust you for the gift of eternal life. And now guide me as a new person in Christ by your divine work. In Jesus' name, amen. This area is open. If you want prayer for anything, feel free to come on up. There's life groups for all ages. God bless each one of you. God make you a blessing.